Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Sterling Elliott is with us. He's a clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. And we are getting orthopedic questions. That's not what you're talking about today, right, Doc?
No, that's not something. The orthopedics my colleagues in the department can handle, but if you got issues related to medicines, we can certainly try to address that.
Yeah, and that's where you come in, because so many people with orthopedic issues are on pain meds, right?
Oh, absolutely, sure. If they've got questions about that, by all means, let's talk.
Well, and somebody did text in a question. They said they take morphine extended release and Norco for extreme pain, and that they just got a note, and the doctor said, we'd like to take you off Norco and replace the medication with MS-Contin. They want to know what that is.
Yeah, MS-Contin is, that's typically a brand name for the long-acting morphine. So it sounds like maybe, you know, what they want to start moving away from some of the longer-acting pain medication and some of the shorter-acting pain medication that's there for when the pain flares up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That seems to be a lot of drugs when people are on, like, two of those pain meds, like Norco and morphine. Is that common?
It's a combination that we see. When folks are dealing with significant pain and significant pain in a chronic setting over a long period of time, you try to manage the pain sort of durationally, and that's the extended release items, things like the morphine extended release, and then you try to get them some help for when that pain flares up. And that's what the shorter acting pain medications are for. But, you know, in general, the long-standing practice is that we don't want to get into a situation where our patients are using those for really extended durations of time. And so when that happens, you start to look for different ways to approach it and see if you can get sort of scale back on some of the pain medication.
Right. Dr. Sterling Elliott is with us. John Williams, I was telling him you were going to be on the show, and he was talking about vitamin supplements and how sometimes you can overdo it. Like when you're told that your vitamin D is low, I know sometimes you're given a burst, but sometimes people try and just go to the, you know, over-the-counter place and get it themselves and try and determine what to take. Do you see people just getting that wrong when it comes to vitamin supplements?
Yeah, you can see that. I listened to much of the day here, and I heard you and John talking about that in the transition. He's not wrong. Vitamins, think about it this way. Vitamins get sort of segmented into two different categories. You've got fat-soluble vitamins. You've got water-soluble vitamins. Fat-soluble vitamins are things like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K, right? The acronym we always tell people is ADEC. The fat-soluble vitamins are the ones that will sort of find fat in your body, and they'll squirrel themselves away there, and they'll leach out over time. So, yeah, with the fat-soluble vitamins, you'd want to be careful. Now, the water-soluble vitamins are exactly what it sounds like. They get into the body water, and what your body doesn't need, your body will excrete out when you go to the bathroom. So you do have to be careful with things like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K.
Okay. Here's another question for you, Dr. Elliott. Sterling Elliott. I have a new med. The filler contains some lactose. I'm lactose intolerant. I use lactate milk and cottage cheese. There are pills. Do you think that if I take the pills that I will not have a reaction? This is a long-term med. I'm interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a good thought. It's a question we get a lot. Lactose is a very common kind of inert, we call it an inert ingredient. It's an ingredient that doesn't really affect the way the drug works in your body. There are a lot of tablets out there that have lactose. And when we see people coming in, when we're reviewing medications, we'll get those alerts as well. In general, it's probably a relatively small amount, and it's not likely to cause issues on the level that you'd be used to seeing when you have dairy products. I think the benefit of taking the medication probably outweighs the small likelihood of a reaction, but you keep an eye on it. And if you notice a problem, by all means, contact the doctor, and there might be a different route you can go.
Okay. And it is true you grew up listening to this radio station, right?
Oh, it was the soundtrack of my mom's various cars.
That's so awesome. Dr. Sterling Elliott is with us, clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine and assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine. He's going to hang out through the news, so you have a chance to get a question answered. Just text 312-981-7200. If you choose not to do that, of course, you can call. Dr. Sterling Elliott is with us. He's a clinical pharmacist with Northwestern Medicine, and we always appreciate the fact that he joins us every month, and people have a whole list of questions. Here's my question, Dr. Elliott. Are EpiPens coming down again, and is it safe to take one after the expired date?
You know, I have heard that the cost of EpiPens is on the way down. I know there's a concerted effort. It was a lot of legislation a couple of years ago in Congress, really to shine a light on that. In general, the recommendation is that you don't use a medication after the expiration date. Okay. At that point, when you see an expiration date, that's the point where the manufacturer has reason to believe that the drug may no longer be as potent as it should be. And, you know, with something like an EpiPen, that can be a life and death scenario. So my recommendation is that you don't use medications past the expiration date.
Okay. Here's another. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No.
Oh, that was my personal question, Dr. Elliott, because mm-hmm. I'm always like, should I just keep this extra one in my purse just in case? I'm not really, you know, because I try and keep one in my purse, in my car, at home, just so it's always handy if you need it. But I will follow your recommendation. Okay, someone has a question. They said, please ask Dr. Elliott if and how, and I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, duloxetine works for chronic pain.
Oh, it's an excellent question. Duloxetine is a drug that we use for a lot of purposes. Primary reason is to use it as an antidepressant. And we've seen that it works in concert with other medications to treat pain. A lot of times when we use these things, we're never 100% certain exactly how it's working, but we know that having studied it, it has given people pain relief without putting them at safety risk. It works through some of the chemicals in your body that are involved in the neurological function. And so the thought is that it changes the way the nervous system functions. And when it does that, it may have a benefit for folks who suffer from chronic pain and helping them reduce the volume of intense pain that they feel.
Okay, here's another one. Does dandelion root affect prescription medication?
I'll be honest with you. A lot of the herbal supplements can affect prescription medications. And, you know, whenever someone asked me that question, I'd have to start getting out my references and looking at it, and that'd take a little bit of time here. But in general, it's always a safe bet to kind of look up whether or not some of these herbal remedies can affect prescription medications, because in fact, we know that they can.
Yeah. Another question for you. I guess Tom's just looking to see if this is normal. He's having hip replacement tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. He's received 9 prescriptions, including Oxy and another narcotic, hoping to need them for just 2 to 3 days and then rely on high-dose Tylenol, which was the case when he had his rotator cuff surgery 5 years ago. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a strategy that we'll see. Here's what I always tell people. This is sort of where my expertise has developed over time, right? When it comes to pain, especially pain that's acute in nature, and post-surgical pain really is, you always want to ask yourself, how are you functioning? And if you're able to do the things you need to do to make progress toward getting better, then you know in your mind the pain is not rising to such a level that it's preventing you from doing that. So there's a scenario where I think some of your non-opioid options are going to be your best options. Very commonly, if the surgeon is agreeable to doing it, things like anti-inflammatories can be really helpful. One of the things we've learned over time is that with a lot of surgeries, the primary driver of pain is the inflammation that's in there. And so if you can keep the inflammation in check, you can often do a lot for your pain, and you're really kind of getting at the root cause of the pain.
A couple more questions before I let you go. Can I take pravastatin in the morning with all my other meds? I just can't remember at night.
You know, a couple of the statins are known for being able to be taken at any time of day. Pravastatin, though, tends to be best at night. And the reason is that the metabolic cycle, which causes the formation of cholesterol, is most active at night. And so some of the earlier statins, and pravastatin is one of them, were really designed so that you get the bulk of the concentration up at the point where your metabolic cycle that's producing the cholesterol is its greatest. My advice is don't move off the nighttime pravastatin.
Okay. These drugs. Anastrozole, Anastrozole, Anastrozole affect bone density?
It can, yeah. You know, that's an agent that we tend to use for women who are suffering, well, and men too, for anybody that's suffering from a sensitive breast cancer. And yeah, there is some information out there that they can affect bone density, and so it's always a good idea to let the physicians that are taking care of you know that. But the benefit of taking the anastrozole may far outweigh whatever we've got to worry about with bone density. We may just have to watch you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you come back again next month.
Absolutely. We'll do this again.
Absolutely. That is Dr. Sterling Elliott. He's such a wealth of information. He's a clinical pharmacist at Northwestern Medicine, assistant professor of orthopedics at Feinberg School of Medicine.